execution.
Vidadu.
Vidadu.
Execute. Adanapriya.
Adanapriya.
Those who are expert in persecuting others.
Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus the demons, being fond of disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances. Imagine, my own Hiranyakashipu. According to his direction, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. Purport. The followers of demoniac principles as described here are thoroughly envious of the general population. In the present day, scientific advancement exemplifies such envy. The discovery of nuclear energy has been disastrous to people in general, because demons all over the world are manufacturing nuclear weapons. The word kadana priya is very significant in this regard. The demoniac persons who want to kill the Veda culture are extremely envious of the feeble citizens, and they act in such a way that ultimately their discoveries will be inauspicious for everyone. Jagato Hita. The 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. So the text again is, thus the demons, being fond of disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances. According to his directions, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. Among Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Saraswatam Deve, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvi Shesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Satarane. 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Asatyam Apratishtam Te Jagarohor Anishvaram Aparashparam Sambhutyam Shamanyat Kayama Haitukam. They say, and Krishna is referring to those who are Pravritim Cha, Navritim Cha, Jana Navita Asura. This Sochyam Napichachiro Nasatyam Teshu Vidyate. Those who are Pravritim Cha, Navritim Cha, those who don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done, who are neither clean nor truthful nor have any proper behavior. They say that this world is unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no other cause than lust. So this is the popular philosophy nowadays, and that philosophy, as Krishna also says, that Sadvan Rupa Sarvasha Shada Bhavati Bharata Sharamaya Yu Purusho Yo Yaschara Seva Saha, that our philosophy arises out of our behavior, and our behavior arises from our philosophy. That if we have behavior where we don't follow the scripture at all, we just reject the scripture, then our philosophy will also, by the mercy of the material nature, give us so much knowledge and realization that will declare that not only there's no God, but that all of us are God. And of all the gods, I'm the best of the gods. So the material nature reciprocates with our behavior. From out of our behavior comes our conditioning by the modes of nature. And according to the conditioning of our modes of material nature, we develop a certain faith and we'll act according to that faith. And because people are trained up systematically to not know what's to be done and not know what's not to be done. As a matter of fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, they think what you're supposed to do is what you're not supposed to do. And what you're not supposed to do, they think that's their duty. They have to do that. Because the present educational system, there is no understanding of how the material nature is actually working. Although it's quite simple, our philosophy, but very, very difficult to understand. Because the material nature, illusory energy, is as powerful as Krishna here. And therefore, she makes it very difficult to understand, although it's very simple. It's so simple, that's why no one can understand it. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the body is changing, and yet the soul within the body, ourselves, we're not changing. It's the most obvious thing to ourselves that we're not changing. Otherwise, we would have walked in here, if one person walked out as a different person. Hopefully none of us will do that. Well, maybe a more enlightened person, but not a different person. So the most obvious thing to everyone, people can't understand it. Prabhupada said it'll take them 500 years to understand the first point of the Bhagavad Gita. And yet they're thinking they're conquering material nature, they've gone to the moon, they've gone, you know, they've invented, there's going to be an Apple iPhone 8. They're conquering the world with it until nature is bowing down before them, offering obeisances 1,000 times. So they're thinking like that, but actually they don't understand anything. And because they don't understand anything, they, as Krishna says, etam drishtim avashtabhya, Neshtatmanana Buddhaya, Prabhupada Yukra Karmana, Shaye Jagato Hita. Following such conclusions, lost to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So anyone who thinks that without understanding what's to be done and what's not to be done, something good is going to come from it, isn't just dreaming. It's completely an illusion. As if we're going to read the newspapers and there's going to be peace and prosperity, although everyone's in ignorance. No, people are in ignorance, they're conditioned by ignorance. And ignorance is going to destroy everything. That's the job of ignorance, is to destroy things. Not to create a peaceful, happy life for everyone. And what are people doing? What do they think? Well, they think, many people think if you're a vegetarian, you're going to grow all sick and die. But if you eat beef, then you're going to become strong and mighty, and you're going to conquer the material nature. You're going to be a hero to everyone. Real men eat beef. So they think like that, and then they expect peace and prosperity, that the material nature is going to bow down before them. No, actually the material nature, as Prabhupada says, is going to create a war for them, so they can all go into the slaughterhouse and be killed like the animals they're killing. So unless people understand what is pravritim, what is nivritim, then Krishna says, ye shastra vidim utsrija artate kamakarata asasidim avatnoti nasukam na paramgitim. That those who reject scripture, they have to act kamakarata. And Prabhupada translates that as whimsically. They may be very thoughtful in what crazy thing they create, but the crazy things that they create, Prabhupada always points out, or often points out, they create things that are meant to kill everyone. People give their taxpayer money to the people in charge of the government, and the people in charge of the government, they utilize the money to kill the people who are giving them money. And then I think something like 50% of the money that is spent in the by scientists is meant to create weapons. Or as Prabhupada said, they're not satisfied, they're envious, we're going to live maybe to 100 years, they want to make sure they shorten it. Or as Bill Gates once said in one seminar he gave, he said there's too many people in the world were trying to figure out ways to solve that problem. And one of the ways he pointed out is by vaccination. So they're proud that we're vaccinating people, and that instead of increasing their life, he's expecting that we're going to solve the population problem. They don't know that there is going to be, or Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu, because they don't know that the goal of life is to reach Krishna, because they've rejected Krishna, because they're envious of Krishna. Therefore, they've automatically become envious of everyone else. And although they advertise how wonderful their creations are, and because they're also sinful, they don't have the intelligence to discriminate what's to be done, what's not to be done, they also accept the Svavidra Hostra Karar Samstuta Purusha Pashtu Yat Karna Patiyopeta Jatanamagadagraja. Those who are big hogs, those who are big dogs, big camels, and big asses, all the little ones offer respect, bow down before them. But if you mention the name of God or Krishna, then they have no interest whatsoever. If they're not adverse to it, they have no interest. Because they don't even know the first point of Bhagavad Gita, that this life is only temporary. And there's lives after this life, or at least, if we go back to the spiritual world, there's real life after this life. If not, then we take one birth after another, according to our karma. And our karma, what we get in our next lifetime, will not be determined by the scientists. Will not be determined by the philosophers. They'll be determined by the laws of material nature. And if they reject Krishna, then they also reject his laws. And his laws are called scripture. So it's not an alternative. Well, people have an alternative. Either they can go down to the lower species of life, which people don't realize that that's actually a possibility. They think it's a joke. They actually think, I remember when I was 5 years old, and they had this, it was two channels on television, so there wasn't much option, and one of them didn't work usually. So I saw this movie, there was these Three Stooges. And they were just, suddenly, somehow or another, they got into an accident, they left their body, and they came back as animals. And it was like a big joke. Reincarnation. They presented it, but it's a big joke. They can't really, or as one lady said when Prabhupada was giving a lecture at the university, Prabhupada was talking about, if you act like a dog, then you're going to become a dog. And so at the end of the class, one lady stood up, student, and she said, Swamiji, you say if I act like a dog, I'm going to become a dog? Well, I want you to know, Swamiji, I don't mind if I want to become a dog. As a matter of fact, I'd like to become a dog. So Prabhupada raised his hand and said, you have my blessing. So, there are so many dogs. We don't need any more dogs. There's plenty. It's already filled up. We don't need more ants. We don't need more plants. We need human beings. Those are quite rare. But in order to become a human being, there has to know pravritim and nivritim. And then, gradually, one may come to the mode of where one can understand what is real truthfulness. We can't be truthful and identify ourselves with this false ego. Our false ego is a lie. As soon as we identify ourselves with our false ego, we're just lying to everyone. Look at me, how great I am. Or look at me, how much I'm suffering. Pity me. You know, make me the center of your attention and give your love to me. That's called the false ego. But it's a lie, because first of all, we're not the body. Number two, is that our body is really not so great as we would hope it to be. And anyone who accepts it as something that they should focus their attention, give their love to, we're just cheating them and they're being cheated. So it's a lie. Asatyam. Instead of understanding the greatness of Krishna, we want to put ourselves as something important. But the great devotees, the actual devotees, when they realize how wonderful Krishna is, then they actually become truthful, and along with truth comes real humility. That's the truth. Haridas Thakur said that when he told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm going to leave my body, or I want to leave my body before you do, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, dear Haridas, that why should you cheat me and leave without you, my pastimes will be incomplete. Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, he said, you have millions of devotees, great devotees, who are qualified to sit on the top of my head. So don't create an illusion. So the real Vaishnavas are immersed in humility because they realize how Krishna has unlimited servants, and they become unlimitedly humble because of that. And they realize how great Krishna is. That's why he has so many devotees, because he's so wonderful. And what about Krishna? Well, he's even humbler than everyone. As he's unlimitedly great, he's also unlimitedly humble. He thinks, I have good qualities only because I have associated with my devotees. Otherwise, I'm very bad. So, that's called truthfulness. And Pravitim Chana Ritim Chana Janana Vida Asara Nisocham, cleanliness. Prabhupada said they think cleanliness is like washing their hands with some kind of alcohol. The most contaminating substance they think is cleanliness. They think if they take, at least in certain parts of the world, which we're quite close to right now, they used to sew their clothes on during the winter because it would be cold. And so then at the end of 6 months, they take their first bath. It's a country you've probably heard of. They're famous for their perfume. But throughout Europe, throughout Europe, well, even America, I guess, all over the world, Dr. Bob Morris told me, or he's mentioned in the class, that his family take bath once a week. And they go to a place where there was one bathtub. So the father would bathe first, then the mother would bathe in the same water afterwards, and the whole family would bathe. And he has something like 7 or 8 children in his family, and he was the youngest. So he got the remnants of everyone else. And that was called bathing cleanliness. So they thought they were being clean. And the people go to before they eat, they look at their hands, and they wonder, you know, is it clean? Well, it looks pretty clean. Can't see too much. And afterwards, after they eat, and they look at, well, in case I get hungry, I gotta keep a little remnants on there. And Prabhupada mentioned how important that is, because I remember one time I got a letter when I was the temple president, and it said, Prabhupada, it was from the secretary, Prabhupada said that we should no longer obey the GBC. So I said, there's no problem, I never did it anyhow. And he said we should only listen directly to Srila Prabhupada. The GBC didn't really bother me. I was in some remote corner of America, so. In any case, I thought it was quite interesting. But later on we found out that they had called and a meeting when, and not all the GBCs were invited. This is 1972, I believe. Not all the GBCs were invited, and Prabhupada wasn't informed about the meeting either. And so Prabhupada disbanded the GBC, and then he wrote a letter to one of those GBCs at the time, Hamsa Dudabru, and he said that, I see your minutes, you know, these big ideas that you have for management, centralizing, but I don't see anything about washing hands in here. I see that the devotees, before they eat, they don't wash their hands. What to speak of after they eat. He said, "That's why don't you talk about these subjects? That these actually have some importance to them." So our idea of what's really important is not necessarily what the scripture says is really important. Cleanliness, truthfulness, the qualities of a Brahmin. Sama, Dhamma, Tapaso, Cham, Shantir, Arjavam, Evacha. Prabhupada points out that these two qualities, these are the most important qualities for a Brahmin. And without becoming a Brahmin, one cannot understand God. One cannot understand Krishna. It's like trying to catch a ride from here to, or fly in the plane to go to Paris and fly from Paris, say, to Amsterdam without going to the airport. If you want to fly from here to from Paris to Amsterdam, the first thing to do is to go to the airport. If one doesn't go to the airport, and one thinks, well, it's too much of a difficulty getting to the, there's a lot of traffic on the road, I think I'm just going to hitchhike. Because I'll put out my thumb and maybe the plane will stop. Well, good luck. You can stand there and hopefully someone will give you some prasadam, but it's going to take a long time to go back to Amsterdam from here by hitchhiking by the airways. The best way of doing it is, logically, you go to the airport, you buy your ticket, and then there's the possibility of catching a ride by the airplane to Amsterdam. So without coming to the mode of goodness, no one is actually going to understand Krishna. Without becoming liberation is the beginning of entry into devotional service. And Krishna says only by devotional service can he be understood. So therefore, this movement, although Prabhupada was wondering about, you know, what kind of devotees he had at first, as you see the happiness in 22nd Avenue, as soon as they joined, they all thought they were one interviewer, and they all thought they were gopis. And when I joined, we thought all the ladies were gopis. Every Mataji in the temple we called gopi. We didn't really know what gopis were, but anyhow. So Prabhupada, he had to deal with devotees who were not necessarily very educated or very brahminical. Prabhupada, the first question I heard Prabhupada ask us giving a class, I was in Buffalo in 1969 when he came there. First question he asked is, he said, "Do you want to become happy?" And no one knew the answer. So no one answered because they didn't want to get it wrong and guess. So Prabhupada had to repeat the question again. And he asked, "Do you want to become happy?" There was like five devotees there, and we were looking at each other trying to figure out what does it say in the scripture. We didn't have any, we only had a little blue Bhagavad Gita, so we had no idea. And then he probably looked like he was, you know, wondering which of the 8,004,000 species he was talking to. So he asked the third time, he said, "Do you want to become happy?" And then finally one devotee raised his hand, and he said, "Yes." And Prabhupada went, "Oh." So what to speak of what really truthfulness is. If someone said, "Who stole the globdomen?" And someone rose the hand and said, "I did it." And then we think, well, that's supreme truthfulness. What to speak of cleanliness? If someone to wash their hands before they eat. But these are the qualifications to, this is pravriti. And there's also nivriti. And without following these principles, we can't rise to the mode of goodness. Without rising to the mode of goodness, we'll never understand Krishna or enter into real devotional service. Of course, Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami tells us, and the Srimad Bhagavatam tells us, that this movement is meant to act on the liberated platform. We may not be liberated. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada said, I'm not liberated. But because I'm acting on the liberated platform, therefore my activities are as good as a liberated person. Ishare tada dine shu balise su dvitsatsu cha prema maitri kripo peka yakkaroti samadhimaha. That we're meant to act on the liberated platform. Of course, archam eva harie pujam yakshariyopite, that we worship the deities in the temple, that's also our duty to do that, to serve and love Krishna, Ishvara, and we love him, but generally, that's done out of business. For the neophyte devotee, they expect some return. But we're meant to act beyond that. We're act to love Krishna, to dedicate our service to his mission, to what he wants, rather than what our mind wants us to do. And in order to do that, we have to cooperate with the devotees to be successful in that mission. To help the innocent people, and innocent means... hopefully we're all innocent. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us, whoever we meet, is our duty to tell people about Krishna, to try to help everyone to understand their relation with Krishna. The demons, they don't want that at all, because they want to be Krishna. And there's no two Krishnas. We find that all the time, when the demons meet the Krishna, the real Krishna, there's always a fight. And in this fight, you better bet on Krishna if you want to win. But every time, whether it's Hiranyaksha, whether it's Tundraka, whoever it is, as soon as they see Krishna, they want to fight. Kamsa, Kalanimi, and they always lose. But they don't give up. In fact, none of us give up. That's why we're still here, still fighting with Krishna or with his material nature. But we have to end that fight by worshiping Krishna, cooperating with the devotees, and try to end the fighting spirit amongst the devotees. So we cooperate to help the innocent. And everyone more or less is innocent. Even the devotees are innocent. We have to see as our duty to help the devotees too, to make progress in their relation with Krishna. That's the meditation. Then we'll actually have the potency to expose the demons and the atheists. We're not going to fight with the demons and atheists. It's like we don't want to fight with the innocent. We don't want to fight with the devotees. We don't want to fight with Krishna. Because no one wins in this age, at least not yet, by fighting with such personalities. But we want to expose the demons that there is a God, there is a Krishna, and it's not them. And we want to present the real God, Krishna. And the demons are not going to be happy about it. If we're actually doing it effectively, they're not going to get together and say, oh, how nice, they're chanting so nicely. Maybe we should become devotees too. Just like sometimes the devotees, they say that let our children go to the regular schools, and then afterwards, if they want, they can become devotees. But we never find demons. They never say, let my children go to the Gurukul, become devotees, and afterwards, if they want, they can become demons. No, actually, this is the internal fight between the demigods and the asuras. And we're supposed to be the demigods in this age. And we have to, what is our weapons? Cleanliness, truthfulness are our primary weapons. The holy name, so we can chant the holy name with real faith and devotion. Serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And practice amongst ourselves, Parash Param. Practice amongst ourselves, helping each other, become Krishna conscious, and then when we find the happiness in association with the devotees, then we'll be happy making other people devotees too. Not that join our movement, we need a few more people to fight with. Most of the people we fought with left, so we need new blood. No. We want to invite people to come and take happiness in helping each other become Krishna conscious, pleasing Krishna, pleasing our acharyas, pleasing Srila Prabhupada, pleasing each other in Krishna consciousness. And then, automatically, when there's a large number of devotees in this world, faith in the leadership of the acharyas, of the devotees, then automatically the demons will be defeated. So our mission is to understand what is the mission of the acharyas and how what they've given us, how effective it is to actually solve the problems of our problems and the problems of this world. The Prabhupada was giving initiation before he left for India in 1968. I forget what the city, it was probably Portland. One man stood up and he said, What are you doing to help this world? So Prabhupada said, are you chanting Hare Krishna? He said, yes. He said, is it helping you? He said, yes. He said, that's what I'm doing. And another man said, Swamiji, well, at least at that time, he said, Swamiji, I want to become initiated. So Prabhupada said, do you believe in, who is Krishna? He said, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the man said, and then Prabhupada said, well, who are you? He said, I'm Krishna's servant. He said, all right, you can be initiated. A little bit more liberal at that time. So our process is not so difficult. Following it may be a little difficult, but we have to realize the seriousness of even washing our hands. You know, the sink is 2 feet away, it's so far away. Vishadam is so close. Anyhow, I washed my hands yesterday, so they must be clean. No, to realize the seriousness of becoming clean and truthful, giving up our false ego, that I'm something other than the servant of the servant of Krishna, and how powerful that's going to be if we can actually do those two things. So, thank you. Merci beaucoup. Any comments? Questions? Time out. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.